Welcome back to a first-of-its-kind special edition of Off the Record. On the panel this week, three MSU journalism students. Why do they want to be reporters? Has social media been a plus or minus on the news front? And later, they'll ask some penetrating questions of their own. So sit in with us as we get the inside out. Off the Record.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by the following. Business Leaders for Michigan has a strategic plan to make Michigan a top 10 state in the nation for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. Learn more at michiganstoptop10.com. And now, this edition of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. With the Michigan legislature on spring break, we do something completely different, as they say on Monty Python. We're talking to some journalism students here at Michigan State University, and let's let them introduce themselves to you right now. Jasmine, please.
Hi, I'm Jasmine Hall. I'm a senior at Michigan State University. I'm studying journalism with a minor in media photography, but I originally come from Blacksburg, Virginia, where Virginia Tech is.
Beautiful. Nice to have you on board. Joe.
Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah, thanks for having me on as well. My name is Joe Freihoffer. I'm a senior, also like Jasmine, studying journalism and Spanish, and I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan, so just an hour away.
Muy bien. That's all I have, okay? Julian, please.
A senior studying media and information, as well as journalism with a minor in media photography, and I'm from Detroit, Michigan, which is also an hour away.
Listen, thank the three of you doing this. We've never done this before. And let's start out with an easy question. Jasmine, if you could wave a magic wand, what job would you be doing today?
Oh, gosh. Well, it has been my dream since I went into the journalism school 4 years ago to hopefully work as a foreign correspondent for The New York Times after graduation.
Wow, you set the bar pretty low.
I have been setting the bar high for myself. I'm ready to get out there.
Why the New York Times? Why not a paper back in your hometown?
Well, I really would love to eventually do some form of journalism in Appalachia. I think there's a really, you know, a large part of my life is there. But I know that moving forward, the kind of journalism that I want to be doing in the future does focus mainly on those international aspects. And I know that the New York Times really sets the bar high for that. And I want to make sure that I'm keeping myself to that standard. But I think that there's going to be a lot of different pathways I go down as I move through my career.
Impressive. Joe, can you top that?
I cannot. I think I'm going to go with, man, it's been something that I fell in love with 2 years ago. It was just the game of soccer and the special effect that the language of Spanish has when you combine those in a field like journalism. So I'm going to go with, I'd love to be a bilingual content creator for a Major League Soccer team here in the States. I think that game is going to be the future of the front of sports here. And that's just something that I would love to shoot for one day.
You mean soccer is going to trump B-ball?
That's right. B-ball, football, everything. I'm calling it right now. I think that's the big future sport here in America, and I'm so excited to see it grow and hopefully be a part of the next generation of media in that sport.
All right, we're going to hang on to this tape, see if you're right, okay? Julian, wave the magic wand. What do you want to be?
I want to be a producer for the news, whether that's for a big news station or a local news station. I don't necessarily want to be a reporter because, well, I'm kind of camera shy, so... I produce for Vocal Point already, which is a student-produced newscast, and I just fell in love with that ever since, and it's something I see myself doing right outside of college.
Well, two of you have used a key word, love. What does that mean to people that have no idea what you're getting into? My love.
Well, I think that it's already so important for us to be telling those stories, and we really want to connect with people. So in order to do that, you first really have to come with the step of love. You have to love this job. You have to love interacting with other people, and you have to love knowing that you want to put their voice on a platform. And I think that passion is what really drives good journalists. And if you don't have that from the start, you might not be able to be as impactful with the work you do in the future.
Joe, what other things, careers did you look at before you decided on journalism? Or has this been on your radar all the way along?
It's been all over the place for me, to be honest. I thought when I was a little bit younger, maybe I wanted to do politics. Then I got totally terrified of kind of the toxicity a little bit in that competitive environment and what that's like climbing the ladder in politics. So I thought, all right, Maybe I'll still step in front of the camera, but try to do reporting this time. I've always been a huge fan of sports, played it growing up. My dad and grandpa both played college football, so that was a huge aspect of my family. And it kind of changed once I came to Michigan State. From at first, I wanted to just be another ESPN talking head. Then I realized the power, like Jasmine talked about, of when you tell a story and the incredible connections you can make within the community and impacting people in a video that's only 2 minutes long, but truly encapsulates what a community is all about. That was the really special part of what we do.
You call politics toxic. You could have a career in journalism. That's a loaded, that's a loaded term. Why did you use toxic?
It seems as though as of late, I'm sure we'll unpack this a little bit later, but for us and especially for my generation, we came up on social media. We came up on something that you can type in 120 characters and can be removed from the internet instantaneously if you wanted to. And it feels as though for me, when I was younger, paying attention to politics, and even up until right now, it's turned into kind of verbal blows back and forth, and not so much of how can we build up one another for the better of this entire nation, because we're all Americans, we're all here in it together. And that's kind of what I loved about sports, really, was a way of getting away from that environment a little bit.
Julian, why love?
Actually, it's a long story.
I got 20 minutes. Go for it.
When I first came to Michigan State, I was an engineering major. So I came with an engineering mindset of I want to be an electrical engineer, but then I got like really scared of science. So I was like, I have to find something that I absolutely love. And engineering was just not it for me. So I decided to go to journalism because I actually saw Focal Point in action on a Friday, and I saw the production aspect of it. And once I got the chance to actually do that in my sophomore year, I just fell in love with how everything goes, learning about new techniques and new ways to shoot and produce a newscast. I just fell in love with it ever since.
Julie, do you think social media is a plus or minus in the news game?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both, but I'm going to go with
This is the guy that ought to go into politics, okay? That's a great answer.
It's more so of a minus for me because social media is very influential, and there's always bound to be some type of fake news out there on social, because anyone could just post anything and just say, this is true, when it really isn't true. And you have to actually go and look at reputable sources. I produce for social media for Focal Point, and there will be times where I see a lot of fake news on the Instagram feeds and on the Facebooks, and I would just have to like actually make sure it's true. So I think it's more so of a minus than a plus.
Jasmine, we could apply the word toxic to social media, couldn't we?
I think you could apply toxic to social media, but I think there are a lot of positives that have come with it. The fact that anyone really can access information just from the click of their phone has really changed the game. But I think there's a lot of, in terms of the negatives, I would have to say that the kind of journalism work that I want to do is investigative and it's emotional. And sometimes social media isn't a platform that allows people to take that step away and really focus in on one thing, one story, and put the emotional energy in that they need to these stories. So that can pull away from the experience. But in terms of just being able to access anything anywhere, it has given us a lot of opportunities we didn't have before.
Yeah, but the dialogue on social media, would you call it intellectual?
I think that you have to go to the spaces that you want in order to gain information. It depends on who you follow. And for me personally, my feed is mostly news. And I really love that about my Instagram. I love all the photos. I love that aspect. But I do think that if you aren't looking for it, sometimes you can put yourself in a situation where, you know, you're just echoing what other people are saying. And maybe that's memes. Maybe that's sarcastic humor. Maybe that is, you know, detrimental political talk.
Joe, would you agree with some people who say social media has diluted the integrity of journalism.
100%. I think it is one thing that we've discussed a lot in classes, even, is how it's created a speed ramp in terms of getting your story out there in the first place. So when something big happens, people feel that need to throw it up as fast as they can because, oh my gosh, I have to get the most amount of likes and I've got to get these views first and I have to get this traction. Well, whatever happened to accountability? Let's make sure that you've got all your sources correct. Let's make sure that you have all the pieces and sides told of a single story. So it's created a massive speed ramp for everything. I think overall emotion, even, people react much faster than they ever have before, instead of taking a step back and thinking about how well they know somebody or the context of a story, everything.
Is it true in newsrooms they have a board where stories that get the most likes, we can tell which ones are most popular? Is that true, sir?
I can tell you at Focal Point News here at Michigan State, we do not have that board, but I definitely believe it. I think that's a trend of news that we are continuing to grow closer and closer towards. It's just the overall, let's see how many views we can get, or let's get this internet immediate attraction that I think is truly taking away from that storytelling ability that we all need to fall back in love with.
Does that board scare you?
Big time. It scared me away from wanting to go into local news in a lot of different ways. At the start of even the senior year, I was thinking to myself, I've got a lot of experience in the past with reporting, and I really want to try and make that jump into my first job. And when I worked at a local station here in Lansing, it was a really, really tragic car accident that happened, and a young guy passed away, and his body was basically just lying there in the street, and the newsroom went up like crazy, and everybody was saying, all right, we got to get a live reporter out there. We've got to send this guy out there to get shots and get sound. And to me, it really kind of stood out as one of those situations. They're trying to get clicks, likes, and views, but it's a story that, what kind of true impact is that having for a community and for us as journalists and what we do? So that opened my eyes a lot.
Jasmine, so when you show up in the New York Times newsroom and you see that board, what will you think?
I think it'll look like my paycheck, unfortunately.
Ouch.
I think that with the way that we're moving forward, a lot of newsrooms are putting a precedent on how many views you're getting, how many likes. But really what we should be moving towards is, just like Joe said, accountability and digging deeper into the story. How is it impacting those communities, and how are we shaping the rhetoric in the country? Because I think that one misstep and suddenly millions of people are looking at you to say, well, why did you report this? And is this true? Who's telling you that this is true? And I think we have to ask ourselves that every day. What are we putting forward for the public?
Julian, what are your concerns about the news consumer? What do they really want to hear from you? Do they want to hear her investigative report? Do they want to hear his soccer scores, which nobody cares about? What do they want to hear about?
Oh, I feel like people want to hear about what's going on, actually. Like, what's going on?
Do they care about politics? Do they care what's going on down in Lansing?
As far as politics, it's a huge debate. Definitely a huge debate, both on campus and off campus, as far as politics go. I'm not really a one for politics. I don't watch politics as often. But I feel like most people are interested in what's going on in their community, like with an emphasis on communities that don't ever get stories talked about. I know back in my hometown, Detroit, there's a lot of stories that are out there in my community back in Detroit, but it's never reported. And that's something that, you know, if I was a news producer, I would actually go and get those stories that are untold.
You've watched the Detroit news media market. Who down there impresses you, if anybody?
Local 4 and Channel 7, they definitely impress me with the stories that they get, especially on the east side and west side of Detroit, which I grew up predominantly on the east side of Detroit. And they cover a lot more like local stories versus Fox 2.
And you don't like Fox 2?
Well, not saying I don't like Fox 2, it's just they don't report like from local sources as much as I think they should.
Interesting. Your local media, what impresses you, Jasmine?
Local to Michigan or local to Virginia?
Let's do Michigan since nobody cares about Virginia. I'm sorry.
No, that's totally fine. I figured, but I just wanted to check.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I think the Lansing State Journal has set a precedent here in the Capitol with their coverage, especially with what happened with the Nassar coverage of those trials. I thought that they did an amazing job. And that kind of local reporting is important during this time because everything needs to be localized in order for people to understand it. And you need to connect with your community because we are a nation, but local news is really making a comeback and we should invest in it.
Joe, what impresses you?
I think like both of these guys have said so far, is just the ability of these local stations to reach out into their communities and connect. That's something that you don't get at those big giant stations. Steve Hartman is a storyteller who I absolutely love because although he is, a guy who travels all over the nation and his stories are aired in almost any market you can think of, he's still a guy who goes right down into these little tiny communities and finds a story in the very back corner of a neighborhood of somebody who, you know, has had an incredible life journey. And I think it's that ability of us as journalists of taking people there and making them care. That's the most powerful job of local news that I think is kind of overlooked. So many people want to just tune into the big giant networks and let's see the controversy of the day or what did our president slip up on this time, instead of those stories that kind of remind us of that human condition and making us feel touched.
So do journalists give people what they want or what they should have?
I think it's changed. I think now the demand has turned into what they want. I think it's what can we hand to social media and a digital presence immediately to kind of feed the masses in a way. There's still a lot of great examples out there, even of young journalists I'm seeing too in different local markets. Some kids that I've even gone to school with who have gone out and gotten their first jobs out in Tennessee or out in north of Wisconsin. And they've learned to really continue to use that powerful aspect of their job of taking people there and making them care. But I think in the larger scan, larger perspective of the giant markets, I think it's a totally different story.
Julian, if Joe is correct, is that dangerous that we're just giving people what they want rather than what they, quote, should have?
I think it's kind of both dangerous and not dangerous. It just depends on, like, the nature of it. Like, we can give people what social media, what they really want. But like at the same time, you have to be really careful with those types of stories that are just for social, because it kind of questions the integrity and the ethics behind what's being reported. I know one of my other classes, we talked about how the recent shooting in Colorado in Boulder was reported during like a sports game, and it kind of questioned like the ethics of why it was reported during the basketball game in the first place. You know, even though it was important at the time, it felt like it didn't have to be reported at, you know, during the basketball game. It could have been reported like at a halftime report or even after the show, but during it, it just kind of makes me question that some stuff like that can be like dangerous for social.
Jasmine, is the news media biased?
Is the news media biased? That is a very interesting question. I think we need to break down this barrier of what is objective news. People keep putting into the... This is a really difficult question for me because I'm asked every day whether or not I'm biased.
Are you?
And I'm asked every day... No, I don't think I am. I think that the news is telling their stories the way that they need to, especially at these higher levels. But in order to understand what we're doing, people need to understand we're not trying to break down the nation. We aren't trying to break down political leaders. Sometimes news is just going to be uncomfortable, and sometimes people do the wrong thing, and it's our job to report that. And whether or not someone likes a politician, someone likes a party, it doesn't matter. What matters is what they're doing, what their actions are saying, and what they are saying behind closed doors. We need to be finding that out. And so I think that people sometimes are uncomfortable with this idea that we're going to say things that people don't like, but that doesn't mean we aren't doing the correct job.
Joe Bias.
Yes, I think across the national perspective, this is something that's always fascinated me, is when you flip between channels, if you go from MSNBC and then you jump all the way over to Fox News, all the way on the other side, I think there's a very clear distinction, even of the narrative, even of the stories that are being told night in and night out, and just the TV personalities as well. That to me is something that's, I think, become completely commercialized, in my opinion. That's something that people tune into to be a part of a sound bubble, basically. You want to jump into your favorite channel that night and be reassured of your views instead of being challenged, of being told to a different side of the story that you don't normally see. That's something that I think local stations do a great job of doing, not these giant national markets.
Julie.
I think most news stations, I don't think they're biased at all. Well, I feel like when I watch different news stations, like the local news stations down here, sometimes I do watch CNN and MSNBC, and there's definitely quite a difference in news personalities, as Joe said. It's definitely one of those times where you have to question yourself, like, is what they're saying actually true? Are they being, like, subliminal with what they're saying? It definitely is kind of like in the middle, kind of like neutral. So some things it could be biased, sometimes it can't. It just depends on who's reporting.
All right, I promised you guys to ask some questions. Go ahead, Jasmine, give me your best shot.
Okay, well, my first question for you would be, how has reporting on politics in Michigan changed since we came into the 21st century?
The reduction of people covering the state capitol. When I started covering the state capitol in 1902, a long time ago, there were probably about 45 vibrant journalists running around. The number has been greatly, greatly reduced. In fact, you mentioned the State Journal. Okay, they had many more people covering the Capitol than they do today. And so what has happened is the consultants have gone into the newsroom and said, people don't care about politics, so you don't have to cover it. And the bean counters won. Joe, your question.
I would say to you, Tim, it seems as though we are portrayed as a trigger-happy generation of journalists. We are the people who are always face down like this into our phones or have our cameras up and at the ready immediately. So what can we do to be that next kind of change of our generation of storytellers and go from kind of feeding the masses, feeding the notifications, to going back into that longer and investigative, like Jasmine was talking about, or just truly making an impact that goes deeper than a like?
Put this in the refrigerator and leave it there.
Easy enough.
I bet you couldn't do it.
I don't think so either. I think we're all hooked, and it's something that I have to work on. I even set like a New Year's resolution for this year. Okay, I'm going to try and be on social media way less, but I also think it's kind of part of our jobs as journalists too, especially me as a sports guy. I got to be on Twitter so often during the day just to even check up on things.
Yeah, it's a substantive question. Let me take just a quick shot at it. Look, first of all, it's all up here, okay? You have to decide. Everybody decides how they're going to do this news thing, okay? Some people are not on Twitter. Some people are not on the internet. Some people just make phone calls, talk to people. I would say, you know, there's something to be said for the old way of doing stuff, because at the end of the day, it's all about relationships. Do people trust you? Will they give you information that you need when you're doing your investigative report? And you know what? It's hard to build a trusting relationship with a device. It's hard to do. It takes in-person eyeball to eyeball to get it done. Julian, your question, then we're going to go say goodnight.
I think I have a question in regards to, like, adapting to this new journalism world. Like, how do you, like, challenge yourself to go out and get those stories that are underreported? Like, what would be like the most challenging part about that?
Well, the most challenging part is developing instincts as to whether somebody's lying to you or not. You know what I'm saying? And you can't do that in a first reaction to someone. You got to kind of go in and hang around. And just sort of, now, obviously, I'm doing politics, which is a little different than the sports thing. And by the way, Joe's picked the right end of the business to go into, because sports sells papers, doesn't it, Joe?
Sure does.
Yeah, and politics doesn't. Okay, I'm on a mission to get people involved in politics. And if you looked at the demographics of this show, we are really great with 65 people, 65 years up to death. And some shows, death wins, okay? My point is, we don't have a lot of your people watching this program. And we need to do that, because my point to your generation is, who's going to run this democracy and make it work if you're not intellectually engaged in the politics of how the business, you know, of how this business is playing up? Am I saying something that resonates at all, Jasmine, or not?
No, I definitely agree with what you have to say. I think there is a difficult conversation to be had with our generation moving forward about the example that we want to set. But from what I've seen in the journalism school, I personally am not worried. I think that my peers know what we have in front of us. And I think that we're a generation that's more empathetic and ready to listen to people's stories and share them in the right way. So I think that people are going to care, because we will make them.
Beautiful. Listen, I'm sorry that we're out of time. I ran the clock long enough so I didn't have to take any more of your questions. But listen, I appreciate all three of you showing up. Good luck. Based on what I've heard here, all three of you are going to be very, very successful. Go forth, be good journalists, and watch Off the Record. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to you folks for watching. Next week, back to the regular edition of OTR right here.
Production of Off the Record is made possible in part by the following. Business Leaders for Michigan has a strategic plan to make Michigan a top 10 state in the nation for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. Learn more at michigansroadtotop10.com. For more Off the Record, visit WKAR.org. Michigan Public Television stations have contributed to the production costs of Off the Record with Tim Skubick.